What's up, everybody?
What's up, man? Welcome to evolution.org hardcore Q&A Raw. We have another great show ahead of you. This is our third episode. We're going to be doing first cycle questions, all about first cycles.
Just banging out episodes on this hardcore topics now. Everybody's all interested in the juice, so let's get into it. First cycle.
Yes, sir. So, first, John wants to know, he's from Montana, of all places. I didn't even know you guys even had internet up there. I'm just messing with you. But he wants to know, hey, Steve, Matt, what were your first cycles? So, Matt, let me ask you that question. How old were you? What did you run for your first cycle?
Yeah, mine's not as exciting because fortunately, and I say that you guys will learn later for my health. Fortunately, I waited until I was a bit older. I always worked out with people, never alone. So the guys that I trained with were never interested in that, never brought it up. So we were just, you know, doing what we thought we were supposed to do, lifting weights, eating food, using supplements that we thought would work. So I didn't run my first cycle till 25, which was great because I was able to learn a ton. I got on the forums. That's where I started to really learn about these compounds. So I waited a while. When I first started doing the research, it seemed like everybody was saying just, you know, test only. So I you know, kept asking, and that seemed to be the right thing to do. Like I said, when you wait a little bit longer to do these things, you have a little more maturity to kind of do what's right than to say, I'm just going to go hardcore and do, you know, run four different injectables at once and just try to blow up. You know, so I had a little bit more more patience when I did it. So I ran, I want to say it was around 600 milligrams per week. The only thing I didn't do was run any supports. I didn't really know about it and didn't do enough research on that part. So had a little bit of water retention, a little bit of estrogen-related side effects, which we all know how to deal with that now, and we'll definitely get into that. But I did run a good PCT after, and I know we'll talk about that in detail. But those are the basics of it. I did gain a decent amount of weight on the scale, somewhere around 16, 18 pounds, and a good amount of it was water, like I said. So I'm guessing I kept maybe 7, 8 pounds of good, clean muscle by the time I was done and all that water's gone and, you know, everything was back to normal, which I think is pretty good and reasonable. I was definitely eating enough at that, you know, that time in my life. Food wasn't a problem and didn't really have a whole lot to worry about, so... That's the basics of it. What about yours?
Yeah, the first cycle I ran was Sustanon. My source at the time, I was 28 years old, almost 29. So basically, my source that I was given by a friend of a friend didn't have any other testosterone esters besides Sustanon. So I said, fuck it, let me just run, you know, Sustanon. I don't know. I didn't really know. At the time, we didn't have as much information as there is today with forums, because this was almost, you know, this was about 10 years ago. So forums, there weren't that many forums yet. Evolutionary.org didn't even exist yet. So, you know, you didn't really have access to the best information, but I was able to learn a little bit from Elite Fitness at the time. And those of you who know me from Elite Fitness know that I've been on there quite a while. So I ran Sustanon 250. I stacked it with some Diebold, 30 milligrams a day. And let me tell you something. I would say like within like 4 days, I remember I was benching, and the weight I could do 6 reps, I could suddenly do 7 or 8 reps, and I was like, whoa, this is fucking, you know, this is actually pretty cool. And you know, it was like, wow, this shit really does work. So this was legit gear. When you have that kind of difference so fast, you could really kick it in. And I'll tell you, my first cycle, my libido was so fucking high. Like, I was dating two or three chicks at the time, and I was just, like, banging them, like, banging two, three at a time, you know? It was just, like, ridiculous how it changed, like, my libido. I would, like, jump out of bed, like, early in the morning. I'd go to the gym. I'd be like, man, I was so motivated to work out. It made me so hungry to work out, but also made me hungry with food. My appetite was sky high. My mood was sky high. I felt great. Like, I think it made me feel like I was, like, 17 again. That's how I would describe it. And the reason for that is the androgens. You know, your androgen receptors are so clean that you hop on the juice, you really get hit hard, you know, with those androgens. So, you know, that's what happened. I gained a lot of mass, fat, water, and muscle. I gained a lot of strength. And I'll tell you, it was a hell of an experience. There's nothing like a first cycle. You just get that feeling of those androgens that hit you, and it, like I said, it feels like you're 17 again. Like that, I don't know, how'd you feel with your mood and libido and hunger?
Fantastic. There's nothing like that feeling when you got everything all set up. You're working out hard. You know you're on the gear. So when you're on the way to the gym, all you can think of is, man, what am I going to put up today? You know, like, if you're feeling that way, even when you're not on gear, if you have one of those really good days and you just get to the gym and you know you're going to kill it, you will. So much of this is mental. But that first time you're on and you just had, you know, you ate your solid pre-workout meal, you're all fueled up, you're ready to go, you got your music on, you're in the gym, like, you just feel so good. And then, like you said, it's from, you know, the time you wake up. And then I was sleeping amazing too, just, you know, destroying everything at the gym and with the amount of food putting in and everything else. And you just need that recovery, right? Like, your body's just trying to heal and grow. And I slept so good for that cycle. It was amazing. Just, you can't do it again, right? There's nothing like that first time of realizing, man, this shit works. Like, this is real. If I do this right, I could do it again and again and again. If I do things right, I got to make sure, you know, I stick with this.
Yeah.
But the one thing, if we don't want to talk about, I mean, I guess it's kind of a negative. If we want to talk about a negative at all, I don't know about you, but that first pin for me, that's something I'll always remember. I'm telling you, I asked so many people, and there were, you know, like, the internet was different. It's consumed a lot different than it is now. So it wasn't like you just go on and watch 1,000 videos. But I would try to find what I could on pinning to get comfortable. And, you know, nothing really helps, I guess. You get an idea of what you're supposed to do. But I can still picture it in my head, standing in the bathroom, looking in the mirror, trying to twist and turn to get to my ass cheek, trying to make sure I'm in the right spot, and just shaking. I'm telling you, like, I just drank 6 cups of coffee, like, everything just shaking. And then you finally get it in there, and you realize, oh, well, that was pretty easy. That's nothing to worry about. But my hands were still, like, shaky, right? So I'm just watching this needle just, you know, I was using a 1.5 inch, and I'm just watching this needle go in and out about 1/2 inch every second. And the pip that I had from that, post-injection pain, was not enjoyable. It probably took me, I'd say, maybe 2 pins, because I just did glutes, so just 2 pins on each side before I really felt like I had an idea what I was doing and didn't have that pain anymore. But that's one thing, I just can't get that out of my head. I'll always remember that, and I can laugh about it now, right?
It was so hard, just, like, even a few, the first cycle, pinning was such a pain in the ass, but I kept telling myself, look, if I want to reach my goals, I have to do this. you know, I spent all this money on this gear. I was like, I gotta fucking do this. You gotta figure out a way to do this. So what I did the first time, I went in the closet with a mirror, in like a dark closet, and I just kind of like, it took me like an hour or two just to finally pin. And what I did is I actually used ice to numb the top of my skin so I wouldn't feel it go in. And I loaded up the syringe with 2 cc's of sustenance, so it's 500 milligrams, which wasn't my intent. I planned on only injecting 250 milligrams, but I was so nervous that I kind of second-guessed myself. I was like, shit, you know, I should do 2 cc's instead of 1 cc. I kind of confused myself from being so nervous. That pin went in there. I didn't feel a thing. It went in there, and I injected. But, man, the pip was horrible after. Sustenin does give pip, but this pip was so bad because you have a virgin muscle, and also you're shaking, and it's moving around. You're tearing up that muscle. So it was a horrible experience. You know, that was the first experience. But, like, pinning is one of those things. You just got to keep doing it. Eventually, it just becomes second nature. I mean, you know, it's so easy for me to pin now today. It's like no problem. You learn which muscles you like, which muscles you get along with. Like, you know, sometimes you'll pin a muscle and it just doesn't like to be pinned. So you've got to learn from that and not pin it. So, you know, it's a hell of an experience, guys. And today, like, you guys are so lucky. You can just go on our website, evolutionire.org, and learn about all this stuff. And you know, you can watch videos on YouTube. There's all kinds of information out there. So it's changed a lot since I did it. So, you know, if you go in there with confidence that you know what you're doing, it won't be so bad. So, you know, what do we recommend using for a first cycle? Matt, you know, we get this question a lot on the forums. What's your opinion? Do you think guys should run multiple steroids? Do you think guys should use just one thing? What's your advice on that?
So I think I'm a little bit open. What I would like to see is somebody just run test. I think it's the most basic compound, and I think the key is you want to know how you react to it. So I just had a guy recently ask about he's going to run test in DECA because he wanted to bulk for his first cycle, which I love bulking on a first cycle. I'd say do that every time. But I think for me, what if you get side effects? You don't know anything yet. You don't know how your body's going to react. You don't know how you respond to each compound. So how do you know what's causing the side effect? How do you know how to control it? And you don't want to screw it up. You don't want to mess up your first cycle and get, you know, pissed off and negative, and then you just blow the whole thing, right? So I would prefer to run it simple. If you're going to do this, guys, you want to do it long term. You want to do it the right way, and you want to always have something to work up to. So if you start with just test, you will put on a shitload of muscle if you do it the right way, if you're eating and if you're training the right way. If you're running a long ester, which I highly recommend, just for the fact of, you know, just the pinning that we were just talking about here, I'd much rather only do it 1 to 2 times per week than have to do it every other day when you're just learning. You always have pain. It would just be very unenjoyable. So I'd run a long ester. I'd pin twice a week. You can get away with one. If you want to do one, that's fine. I just prefer to split it up. Do like Monday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday, whatever works for you. So if you are running a long ester, I'm not opposed if you wanted to kickstart with an oral. Like Steve ran his with D-ball. That's fine. I don't really have an issue with that because while you're waiting for the test, it'll give you a nice little experience of what it's like, and you'll definitely know what's causing it. Your long ester test is going to take a good, you know, 4 or 5 weeks for it to peak. So to run an oral, I have no issue with that. It's very individual. If you want to do it, fine. Just make sure you're using a supplement for your liver. If you're using something like D-ball, make sure you're running an AI from day one, which you should be doing anyway. You need an aromatase inhibitor because test aromatizes very heavily. And I think because test is so common, people don't realize how heavy it aromatizes. Extremely heavy. More than a lot of these other compounds that guys will call wet compounds. So
Yeah, we'll get into
the two basics, right? Two things you need to run on your cycle, and the oral is optional. That's what I go with. 500 seems to be a good middle of the road dose. If you wanted to go 400 to 600 milligrams test, I'd be cool with any of those.
Yeah, and we'll get into the what ancillaries to run, what supplements, support supplements to run also, because we do have a user question for that. My opinion is very similar to yours. I actually don't have a problem with people running a kickstart, like you said, because, you know, you're talking a long ester test is going to take time to quote-unquote kick in. Although, when you inject steroids, they start working immediately, guys. They do start working immediately, but if you think about it, you know, as you continue to inject, you're injecting more and more compound into your system, so it's kind of adding up, and the esters are not leaving your system fast enough. So it kind of adds up as you inject. So, you know, you've got to kind of think of that in your mind and realize that. So, you know, using an oral to kickstart is not a bad idea. Is it necessary? No. But, it can be a good idea to run a light kickstart with maybe 20 milligrams of D-Bol. So if you want to bulk, if you're trying to bulk, something like 500 milligram test a week and 20 milligrams of D-Bol for the first 4 weeks, and then run the testosterone about 12 weeks, with that. And then if you're looking more of a cut, because you don't want a lot of water retention, run something like, you know, let's say 400 milligrams of testosterone with 40 to 50 milligrams of Anavar or 30 milligrams of T-Bol, something like that. This way you're not getting so much, you know, water weight and not moving the scale so much. So, you know, that's a good first cycle. The nice thing about testosterone is that it is both anabolic and androgenic. That's a moderate dose. 400 or 500 milligrams is a moderate dose. When you get moderate doses of testosterone, it is androgenic. Guys don't realize that. Guys think that testosterone is like a safe compound or doesn't shut you down and all this nonsense. No, testosterone is a very powerful hormone, and it will shut you down, and it is very androgenic. That's why when you run it, typically you get a rise in libido, because those are the androgens. You get a rise in strength. Again, that's the androgens that are working their magic in your system. So, that's what I would recommend. Another first cycle idea would be using SARMs. You know, you could use a triple stack SARMs, and that would be working good. Or you could just use two SARMs. You can use LGD with cargarine. That would be a great first cycle. This way, you know, you can kind of save the steroids for a future time. So, but on this show, I wanted to kind of focus more on a steroid cycle. So if you're not sure that you want to quite run steroids yet, go with SARMs. But, you know, if you really want to take shit to the next level, you know, after you've run a couple SARM cycles, it's going to be time for you to bite the bullet and run an injectable steroid cycle. Nice 10 to 14 week injectable cycle, so you can really, you know, get your goals in order. So, and, you know, lots of users are asking, you know, hey, what ancillaries am I supposed to use? What SARMs, what supplements do I use on cycle? So, Matt, you know, you kind of discussed already using an aromatized inhibitor. What, you know, can you be more specific on that? What's a what other ancillaries do you need?
Yeah, so there's two that are pretty popular. There's Arimidex and there's Aromacin. Arimidex is a little more old school. So if you talk to some of the older guys, if they're using one at all, that might be something they used. Actually, way back in the day, the guys would run Novadex on cycle, but you don't want to do that. We'll talk about that later. So that's your choice between the two. If you have an option, I'd go with Aromacin every time, and there's a few reasons why. One, it will not destroy your cholesterol levels like Arimidex will, and we could touch on blood work too, so that there's definitely a way to check that, guys. So it won't hurt your cholesterol levels. It will raise your IGF-1 levels, which is fantastic. And it's also a suicide aromatase inhibitor. So there's no chance of estrogen rebound. Arimidex is not a suicide inhibitor. So when you come off of it, there is a chance at the end of your cycle that that estrogen can rebound and cause gyno. And you don't want that. So if you have the choice, aromasin, a good dose around 10 to 12 and a half milligrams every other day. It kind of depends how you buy it, to be honest. If you're using a liquid, it might be easier to dose 10 milligrams. If your source has tablets, they're probably going to come either 12 and a half or 25 milligram tablets. So it's kind of out of convenience. Arimidex, a good dose would be around 0.25 to 0.5 milligrams every other day. Kind of same idea. You can get that liquid. If you do, make sure it's a trusted research chemical company, or you can get it from pretty much any source would have that. So that's your most important ancillary you're going to want to have on cycle to control your estrogen. You want estrogen to be in the middle. You don't want it too high, obviously, but you also don't want it too low. If you have it too low, you'll start to feel things like dry joints and things like that. If your estrogen gets too high, you'll have lack of libido, you'll have erectile dysfunction issues. So you really want to find the dose that works for you to keep that estrogen right in the middle. And then you'll see what your preference is, kind of where you like it as you move along. I guess as far as supplements, that's very individual. I pretty much take exactly what I normally do when I'm on cycle or when I'm off cycle on. The only thing I might not use on is creatine. I don't think I get a whole lot of it on cycle, so I'd probably stop that. And then the only other one I'd specifically point out would be a good liver supplement, especially if you're taking an oral steroid. Almost all oral steroids are liver toxic. So if you're going to run something like D-ball, Anavar, T-ball as a kickstart, you need a liver supplement. I use N2Guard. I use it year-round, whether I'm using oral steroids or not, because it has so many other functions. There's no product like it. I'm telling you, if you guys read ingredients, you won't find anything else that even comes close. Some key things in there for the liver would be like Tudka or NAC, NAC. They're just fantastic for the liver, milk thistle, lots of other vitamins, minerals, and that in there. So that's going to be key on any cycle, even if you're not using a liver toxic oral, just because your organs are stressed. Like, we should have probably mentioned this at the beginning. If you're going to be getting into this cycle too, guys, you need to be in good shape. Like, you can't be jumping on with shitty heart health and 20% body fat and you're like a slob. It's not going to give you what you want. They're not magic pills. So you need to be in the right shape because they will strain your organs. So it's always good to take something like that just to keep everything the way it should. It'll help with your blood pressure, you know, all the things you really want to watch because these are hormones, guys. Like, they're not a joke. So you really need to know what you're getting into. What am I missing?
Yeah, so I use N2CAR too, but don't forget, besides your liver, also, let's say you just run testosterone, you still need to protect your heart because your heart will get strained on any anabolic steroid because anabolic steroids, they strain your cholesterol. So your bad cholesterol is going to go up, your good cholesterol is going to go down. It's universal, guys. You can argue it all you want. I've run enough blood work. I've seen enough blood work, seen thousands of blood work to prove this. That's just the way it's going to be. So you really have to protect your heart. So N2Guard has other ingredients to also protect your heart. It's a must run on cycle. 7 caps per day on cycle throughout. You know, you've got to do it. Another supplement I like to run the second half of my cycle is called HC Generate. And what that does, it also helps balance your cholesterol, but also helps keep your libido strong. It keeps your balls nice and plump, okay? So your balls don't shrink up to raisins. And it does, when you come off, help you kind of recover quicker. So those are two supplements you can actually buy from NeedToBuildMuscle.com, N2BM.com, and HC Generate and N2Guard. As far as SARMs and SARMs-like products, I really like to run Cardarine when I'm on a cycle, because quartering helps increase endurance and it also helps with fat loss. So even if you're bulking, having increased endurance really, really helps. Even if you're a strength trainer, in between sets, instead of taking 5 minutes in between sets, you can take 3 minutes between sets because it increases your endurance. It helps you push more when you're in the gym. I love it. And then if you're cutting, it's going to help you with fat loss. So, I mean, you get the best of both worlds with it. You could add other SARMs. There's so many different SARMs out there. You can add LGD. You can add Ostrine, which helps you with your joints. You know, and then there's Nutrabol, which is not a SARM, but Nutrabol will actually boost your IGF-1 and boost your growth hormone in pulses. So that will actually help you with recovery. You know, it's going to help you build lean muscle mass, and it's going to help you with fat loss as well. And if you're trying to bulk, it's going to help you with hunger. So those are great options to use while you're in a cycle to enhance your cycle without adding to side effects. So instead of stacking multiple steroids like everyone likes to do because they watch YouTube and they see social media and they see these guys with these running eight different steroids, no. First cycle, run one or two compounds, but use your SARMs in the cycle to enhance it, and that will prevent those side effects. So, you know, that's what I recommend. I think we pretty much covered that topic totally.
You know what, with the Carterin, I just want to point out that that's a great point to run that, because unless you're running EQ on its own, you probably will have some negative effects to your endurance. You'll notice it, guys. Like, if you go to do your cardio, you'll be a little winded quicker, and you won't feel as, you know, like you're able to fly like you would be on your normal cardio. It definitely can hinder you. Even something as simple as just 500 milligrams a week of testosterone can do it, but it affects everybody differently. So that's a great point to run that, and that will completely take care of it, and you'll be better off than you were before. So definitely run that with any cycle you run.
So we have another user question. This is Marlo. He is chiming in from Illinois. He wants to know PCT. And I know, Matt, you wrote a really good PCT thread, and you explained how to run PCT, what compounds to use. So, you know, let's pull it up and kind of go through exactly, you know, what you actually say in the thread. So to help guys with PCT. Now, let me say first with PCT, before Matt explains what he wrote. He wrote a really good article on it. PCT, the point of PCT, guys, is not to restart your HPTA. There is no such thing as restarting your HPTA. If there was, nobody would be on TRT for life. Okay? The point of PCT is to provide you a soft landing so you can keep your gains. You cannot feel like shit, you can keep your libido, and you can stay motivated to continue working out. Because if you don't run a PCT, what's going to happen is you will crash, you won't want to work out, you're going to get depressed, you're not going to have libido, you're not going to be able to smash your girlfriend anymore, you know, for you know, while you're going through that, and it sucks, okay? So PCT is to provide a soft landing. You also should do a PCT to bridge to continue that. Only your own body can recover. Okay? There's no magic way to restart your PCT. Okay? So keep that in mind when it comes to PCT, and have that mentality when you're doing PCT that your own body must recover, but you must run PCT to hold on to your gains and hold on to your sanity. So with that said, Matt, you know, tell us a little bit about the article you wrote on the, it's called The Perfect PCT. If you go to evolutionary.org, it's in the sticky on our main forum.
Yeah, this PCT is a combination of input feedback from all the veteran guys over the last few years. This thing's been coming together, and it's been tweaked, and I think the one we have now is the best we've had so far. So basically, you explain the purpose of PCT and why you need to do it. So I'll just start off and I'll tell you what you're going to need. And this is not the place to cut corners, guys. If you don't have the funds, then you don't cycle. Simple as that. Test and, you know, that is cheap. But if you're going to do this and you're going to be healthy and do it right, you have to have everything. You get everything before you start your cycle or you don't pin. That's the rule. So what you're going to want is 1 to 2 bottles of HC Generate ES. That's the extra strength version of the product we were talking about earlier. It is the absolute strongest natural testosterone booster available. I like to run 2 bottles just because I feel so much better that the 1 bottle lasts the 4 weeks, but I run my PCT longer than 4 weeks. So I like to extend it out, but that's optional. So at least 1 bottle. You're going to need 2 bottles of Cartarin, 1 bottle of Osterin, Clomid, Nova, Entugard, and optional would be an AI. Personally, if you run Aromasin on cycle and everything's been controlled, you don't need it necessarily in PCT because you've kept it in check. If you run Arimidex, I would continue to run it into PCT at least for a couple weeks and just taper it down, and that should help you not to get the rebound that I talked about earlier. So basically what you're going to do, so you've run your long ester test, we're going to assume. That's going to take about 2 weeks to clear. So when you do your last injection, you still have these steroids in your system for, you know, at full pop, like you're going hard for another 2 weeks before these esters clear. So you got to let them do their magic and get out of there. So you're not going to touch anything else except the HC Generate ES and the Cartarin. Those are the only 2 things you need to use for 2 weeks. It's going to help you to feel really good. It's going to create that really nice transition. The Cartarin is going to help you to continue and push hard, even though these things are getting out of your system. You'll still have that endurance. You'll still have your intensity in the gym, and that's what you don't want to lose, and that's where guys lose their games. They start to not feel good. They start to half-ass their training, and they eat like shit, so that's what you don't want to do, right? You can start your N2Guard anytime. I run it the entire cycle and the entire PCT, so that's up to you. I would probably start it day 1 of your PCT, though, and I'd continue at 7 caps per day, just like on cycle. After those 2 weeks, starting your 3rd full week of PCT, that's when you add the SERMs in. And these are the drugs that guys think are magic and will flip the switch. They certainly help, but like Steve explained, that's not exactly how things work. The body needs to do it itself, and these are what will create that soft landing for you. The key is your doses need to be moderate. If you Google Clomid, Nova, side effects, you'll come up with a lot of stories, a lot of shit that guys say, because they'll get, you know, Clomid, they'll get emotional and depressed, and Novadax, they're getting limp dick and everything else. That's because they're running stupid dosages. Guys, 50 milligrams a day of Clomid, 40 milligrams per day Novadax in week 3. That's it. You don't need any more. That's as high as you'll go. Okay? And week 3 is also when you start your Osterin. And the key with that is you're only going to run it for 4 weeks of your PCT, because it is very, very, very mildly suppressive, so you don't want to run it longer than that. You don't want to hinder your recovery. We want to make sure we continue to recover. So you're going to start that, and you're going to run 25 milligrams per day, and you can dose that all at once per day, whenever it's convenient for you. So the only thing that changes in week 4 is your Novadex dose is going to go down to 20 milligrams per day. So you're going to cut that in half. Everything else is the exact same. Week 5, we're going to start to drop down again. Your Clomid is now the one that's going to drop down to 25 milligrams per day. That's all you need. I'm telling you, guys run 150 milligrams minimum sometimes Clomid, and then they wonder why they're crying. Week 6, the only difference here, we're going to now cut our Osterin dose in half because of, like I said, to keep that suppression gone, we're going to start to taper that down. Week 7, what we're going to do here is drop the Clomid in half again, drop the Novadex in half again. So you're going to have Clomid at 12.5 milligrams per day, Novadex 10 milligrams per day. At this point, if you were running an AI at all, I'd cut it off. I don't think you even need to go this long, but this would be the absolute longest. The Osterin, drop it right out now. Wouldn't even bother taking that anymore. And then last week, week 8, the only thing you're going to run is your HC Generate ES. That's going to be the end of your second bottle. So if you did go with the two bottles, that would give you that extra week on top of it. So when you look at this, guys, it's very simple, and you can go on the forums, like Steve said, and you can find it. It's laid out in charts. It's very simple. I hope what I just said made sense to you, but it is nice to see it on paper sometimes. But the key is, notice when I finished up, I said week 8. I didn't say week 4. We don't run 4-week PCTs, guys.
Yep.
That's very weak. That is old school, and that's why guys are on TRT and why they don't recover and why they feel like shit.
Yeah.
You run a full PCT. 4 weeks isn't enough. You got to run the full 8, run the HC Generate. That second bottle will make a huge difference. After this 8 weeks, that's when I would start to say you should be heading towards being recovered. You still want to give it time before you check on it, because these SERMs will linger in your system for a while. So if you do go to get blood work, it's going to be all screwy. So you definitely need to wait 3 to 4 weeks before you check on recovery. But at this point, I would expect after 8 weeks, you'd probably be feeling pretty well back to normal at this point.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be slacking on your training at this time either.
You shouldn't need to, because you feel good enough to train. You're not going to feel as good as you did on steroids. You don't have those energies in your system anymore. But this PCT is going to make you feel so much better. The thing is, guys, when you're running these long esters, like these a long testosterone ester will take many, many weeks to actually get out of your system. Yeah, after 2-3 weeks, it's going to drop. But it's going to take 4, 5, 6 weeks until it's totally out of your system, maybe 6 or 7 weeks even. Until it's totally out of your system, your body cannot recover because it's still detecting that exogenous hormone. So you know what I'm saying? So that's why PCT is so important. As those esters are clearing out, that PCT is kind of providing that little boost. So in this case, HC Generate ES, what extra strength, what it does is it gives you that on feeling. It gives you that boost in libido. It gives you that boost in mood. It gives you that boost in strength. The tartarine is going to keep that fat off. It's going to give you an increase in endurance. The M2-YARD is going to protect and repair your organs. The Clomid and the Novadex, those are SERMs, selective estrogen receptor modulators. Those are going to block estrogen from going into your pituitary glands, causing a rock in LH, FSH, and total testosterone without estrogen going up. That is a temporary thing. When you stop taking them, that no longer happens. So when you're on these drugs, running blood work, you'll notice your LH and FSH and total testosterone will be elevated. But that's only because these are manipulating your numbers. So this is how they work in your system. And then you can use that Osterine at a low dosage, under 4 weeks. That will help prevent muscle wasting. So now you see why this is called the perfect PCT. All these things that are in this PCT all work in synergy to do different things to help you with mood, with libido, preserving muscle, you know, having motivation to go to the gym, all that stuff. And then, you know, like Matt was saying, these stupid 4-week PCTs don't do shit for you. Guys, they run a 12-week cycle, then they run a 4-week PCT, then they go back on cycle. Well, guess what? You never came off. You have to come off for that PCT plus another 12 weeks if you're running a 12-week cycle. That is going to allow your HPTA to fully recover. If you do not do that, guys, and you abuse your HPTA and you abuse steroids, you will end up on TRT at a very, very young age, and you will regret it. You know, your body produces hormones. take advantage of that for as long as possible. You don't want to hop on TRT at 25 or 30 years old and have to inject your ass for the rest of your life. That doesn't make any sense. So PCT is very important. Now, we get questions a lot. Guys want to know, hey, how do I work out when I'm on my first cycle? Does it change? Blah, 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 blah. Let me say this, okay? When I ran my first cycle, my workouts did not necessarily change, but I did notice that I was able to work out longer, I was able to recover faster, and I was more motivated to go to the gym when I was on cycles. So yeah, take advantage of that. Instead of working out 3 or 4 times a week, you may choose to work out 5 or 6 times a week. Those steroids do cut recovery time in half. So yeah, you want to take advantage of that. So in my case, I did the same workout. I just did a few more sets each workout, and I worked out 1 or 2 more days a week. And, you know, the results were very, very good. So you'll notice that when you're on your cycle. So just kind of play it by ear, see how your body feels, you know. So, Matt, how about you? Did you notice, were you working out more when you were on your first cycle?
Yeah, absolutely. You just... the recovery is unreal. That's probably one of, besides the strength, that's one of the first things you notice. You feel like, you know, sometimes you hit something really hard, like take legs, for example. The next day you're feeling it pretty good. And even the day after, well, when you're on, especially this first cycle, you're going to be like ready to go again so quick. You're going to feel like, man, I'm all healed up. Like I could do legs again. So, yeah, take advantage of it. But at the same time, remember, guys, that these steroids are helping you build muscle, okay? That's what they're doing for you. And they're not building your ligaments, and they're not strengthening your tendons. So make sure you're doing your warm-ups properly and you're doing enough warm-up sets when you go into a new muscle group. And also, make sure that you're increasing your weight, but you're not going crazy. You know, like, you don't need to bench today, you know, and then you bench 2 days later and you add on 20 pounds to your bench. You don't need to increase that fast, right? You might want to and you might think you can, but you want to make sure you don't get injured in the middle of your cycle, because that blows. Trust me, I've read so many threads, guys get injured on cycle, and it's depressing as hell. Then you got to come off, or you don't know what to do, and it's a disaster. So on one hand, yeah, you can absolutely crush it. I was the similar. Like, I definitely did more sets and worked out longer, and I felt amazing too. Like, felt like I could just keep going. And now, especially if you're taking that Carterin on your cycle too, like, that's definitely going to help too. So take advantage of it, but also in the back of your mind, just keep your health front of mind, so that way, you know, you're aware of your joints and that kind of thing, so you don't get injured. But yeah, you can switch it up. Like, I switch up my workouts usually every 6 weeks or so anyway. I like to constantly do that. But there's nothing wrong with doing the same routine you've been doing. Just because you're going on cycle doesn't mean you have to completely blow up your workouts, guys. So,
tell us a little bit about your diet now. How did your diet change? For me, my appetite was so sky high. I was basically, when I would wake up in the morning, I'd jump out of bed, I'd be like, fuck, I want to go to the gym. So I'd eat a fucking bison burger, and I'd eat like a couple eggs with some pancakes. That was my breakfast. I'd go work out, and I'd come home, and I'd eat the same fucking thing again. And man, I could eat so much. I mean, I bulked so much on that cycle because my goal was to bulk, you know. So that was my experience. If you're going to cut, the good thing about using steroids is you can drop your calories down and you can preserve muscle. Steroids, you know, they're great at preventing muscle wasting. So you can run them with low calories, low carbs, and not worry about shedding away muscle and strength. So those are, you know, two options depending on what you do. I personally would never tell someone to use steroids, you know, if you're trying to cut on a first cycle. You should use a first cycle to bulk. You should, you know, if you want to cut using SARMs, cut using diet, cut using exercise first. Get your body fat down so you have room to bulk. You really want to use steroids as bulking tools because they increase your appetite so much. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, for sure. Like, especially that first time, again, your body's going to be just screaming for that food. You're going to be working out hard. You're going to be breaking the muscle down. You're going to, you know, you're going to be wanting to sleep and repair it, and you're going to be starving all the time. And it can be good and bad, right? Like, you'll definitely put the muscle on if you're eating a ton of calories, but you also kind of want to stay on track of where you anticipated to be. You want to hit your calories every day, but you don't want to go excessive to where you're putting on too much fat. The thing is, it takes time to learn your body, guys. You just got to watch. So, you know, if you're hungry all the time, eating in your 500 calorie surplus, go higher, increase it, but just watch. If you start to add fat, cut it back. If you don't, then good. You're learning. Keep going. You'll learn exactly what you can do. So I was definitely starving all the time. The tough time for me was at night because I'd be so tired to go to bed, but I'd be so hungry, and like just didn't know what to do. So certain foods I found would really keep me more full than others, and whole eggs for me are always one that keeps me full. So I would use those at certain times to, you know, kind of keep the appetite at bay. And just little tricks like that I learned along the way. We should mention water, too, as part of diet. You're going to need to drink a lot more water on cycle, unless you're a guy that's already drinking, you know, a gallon or 4 liters a day, no problem. I'd say that's around where you need to be at least. Increase more if you can. But I wouldn't drink any less than that when you're on a cycle. You're absolutely going to need it with what you're doing. And then, you know, if you live somewhere that it's hot out, you know, you better go more than that too, because you can't be on cycle and dehydrated. You'll just put your body in, you know, into shit. You'll strain your organs and everything. You can't have that. And you need to keep it, you know, keep your metabolism fired up too. And water's the key to that. So That's how my diet was. The one thing I will mention with diet is when you start getting into the PCT, you're going to want to watch it because you're not going to want to eat as much as when you were, you know, fully blasting your cycle. You're going to want to tone it down a little bit because that's a real easy time to gain fat. There's another reason that the Carterin is part of the perfect PCT is that it lowers cortisol levels. When you're coming off of a cycle, your cortisol levels will go up, and that's not something you want. It makes it easy for your body to store fat. So you will definitely want to get your calories probably back down to maintenance. But, you know, judge by how you're doing. It just to be aware of it when you're coming off, to watch how much you're eating.
Yeah, I mean, it's that simple. That kind of segues into, you know, the question of, you know, am I ready to use steroids? How old should I be before I use steroids? And what I said earlier, guys, it's true. You use steroids when you're too young. You know, it will destroy your reproductive health, sometimes permanently. Because what happens is your body is going through changes. Your HPTA is going through changes. So when you put exogenous hormones into your system, it signals your pituitary glands to go dormant, to basically hibernate. So you run the risk of your body not wanting to recover when you come off. It's really not smart. So I tell guys, look, I'm like, it's okay to use SARMs if you're 21, 22. But when it comes to steroids, you really need to wait till your late 20s. You don't need steroids in your 20s yet. You can work out naturally. I know it's a crazy fucking concept to work out naturally, you know, but you can do it, guys, because, you know, I'm not saying don't go work out. I'm not saying go build muscle, I'm not saying don't get stronger. I'm not saying don't lift weights. I'm saying do all that things, but I'm just saying you don't need steroids to do it. You know, it's a crazy fucking concept. I worked out for 13 years before I touched steroids. You got these guys who are working out for fucking 13 days or 13 weeks or whatever. And they're going and they want to hop on the sauce. And, you know, social media has changed things. People are so fucking impatient. They want to know something, you go on Google. You know, or you go on your social media and you ask the question, you get a million responses. In the old days, when I wanted to know something, I have to fucking ride my bicycle or walk down to the library, go in there, check out a bunch of books, and read to find the answer. Now everything is so fast. People want everything fast. It's the me generation. You know, they don't want to work for things. You know, that's human nature. Humans don't want to, you know, it's so much easier to just open the fridge and get food rather than go and hunt for food, you know, or go catch food or go pick berries out in the wilderness. So the human mind has evolved, you know, and adapted to that. But I'm telling you, the results will be so worth it if you're patient and you wait till you get older. So age-wise, late 20s, guys, when it comes to steroids, very important. As far as, you know, should, you know, what body fat should you be? You know, if you're a power lifter, whatever, mid-teens is fine. If you're more of a athletic, you know, you want to be lean, whatever, low teens is fine for a first cycle. You want to give yourself some room to bulk. Don't hop on gear when you're 20% body fat, because now you're going to be scared to eat because you don't want to gain any fat. You know, so you want to give yourself room to bulk. You want to give yourself room to get stronger. You see, so drop that body fat down first, okay? Get into proper shape. Someone who's 20% body fat does not have their diet and it doesn't have their exercise in order. On the flip side, someone who's really, really skinny, if you're 5'10", 155 pounds, obviously your diet sucks. You're not eating enough, okay? Go back and listen to our previous podcast where we talk about bulking, you know, and learn to eat properly. I don't care what you say, oh, that you eat well, whatever. If you're that fucking lean, okay, you're not eating enough. And when you run steroids, all that's going to happen is they're going to boost your appetite a little bit. They're going to boost your hunger, okay? You're going to put on some mass. And then when you come off the steroids, you're just going to lose it all. So you end up just spinning your wheels. You know how many people I know that have run steroids in the past? Pretty much every male person I know, and maybe like even like 20 or 25% of females I know, because, you know, I socialize with people who are into fitness, they have used steroids in the past, but a lot of them don't even look like they use steroids because they spin their wheels. You may run a few cycles, then quit working out. You get kids, you get married, whatever, you start a business, that doesn't become your priority anymore. So, you know, using steroids was kind of pointless in the first place if that's the case. You know, so, you know, that's my opinion. Matt, like, you know, chime in on that. What do you think?
Yeah, the thing with the body fat that you mentioned, so you covered the HPTA risk really well. The thing with the body fat is there's a few risks. The obvious one is when you're at a high body fat, your organs are already under more stress than they should be, especially your heart. We talked about your heart earlier. You need to be in good shape. Steroids are not going to help your organs, guys. They're going to put stress on it. So if you're already overweight and then you're adding steroids to the mix, this is how people have issues and then say, well, steroids caused this or that. No, they didn't. What caused it is you were out of shape and fat, and then you add gear into it. It's not good for you to do that. So you really want to be in good shape. The other part of the body fat is the estrogen, right? That's a hormone we want to control. We don't want to have side effects related to estrogen, which could be, you know, high blood pressure, things like that. So the higher body fat you have, the more estrogen you're going to have in your body. So that's another thing. When you get yourself nice and lean, you won't have as much of an issue controlling it. And that's exactly what you want. You want to be in that right space to grow. I think for a first cycle, if you're a guy looking to put on mass, if you could get yourself down to 12% body fat first, I think that's the perfect number. Now, 12% is not easy for everybody. It takes work. But you know what? That's the whole point. You need to learn how to do this consistently or you won't have results. So you need to have your diet on point and you need to have your exercise on point every single day, because that's the way that these compounds are going to be effective. They won't be effective if you eat good, you know, 2 days in a row, then you have a shit day and then you eat good and then you go out on the weekends and you binge drink. But then Monday you're back at it, chest day, right? That's not the way that it's going to work. So when you're able to get down to around 12% body fat, that shows a certain amount of discipline and maturity and more signals more to me that, you know what, you probably are ready. You're probably ready and dedicated enough that when you add these compounds in, they're going to work for you. You're going to stick to it. So I think that's a huge part of getting into the right shape. I'm good with the age that you mentioned, you know, mid to late 20s. If you wait till then, you'll get so much more out of it because you'll know what you're doing and it's so much safer for you and you can continue to progress and you're not worried about going on testosterone replacement therapy at 23 years old because you fucked it up, right? And it's real easy to screw things up when you're young and you don't know what you're doing. So I think patience and maturity are a big part of it to knowing if you're ready.
So we got Ricky, he just chimed in. He wants to know, hey, I'm married, you know, I want to run my first cycle. I'm not sure about having needles around the house. Matt, let me ask you first, since you are married and you do live with a female, tell us about that.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great, great question and a great point, because the first thing, you need to be open with your significant other. And honestly, that's the only person I care about you being open with. If you don't want to tell anybody else, that's fine. Don't give a shit. But you don't hide things from your husband, wife, girlfriend, whatever it may be. So you need to be open about it. If you have kids, yeah, that requires a whole other level of being careful. You have to have your own little system. You have to have your place where things go. You have to be just careful about what you do, your injection schedule. Like, you just have to have things organized and you have to be safe. And if you're open with that person you're with, and if you are careful, you can be fine. But if you're not open, guys, like, you're going to get caught. And, you know, if it's your wife or your girlfriend, she's going to kill you. Like, let's be honest, you hide something from her, it's not going to be good when she finds out. She's going to destroy you. So why not be up front and teach her about these things? Because steroids, for some reason, have such a negative connotation in the real world. The media, everything, just negative, negative, negative. But yet, when you do enough research and you are educated, you realize these compounds can be used safely if used properly. So I think you need to bring it up and you need to be respectful and you need to listen and have an open conversation about it and educate where and when you can. And you know what? If you have somebody that's into fitness with you, they're probably going to be a little more open to listening to it. And, you know, if it's hard to have that conversation first, maybe you talk about SARMs first. You know, maybe you start off a little more mild and then you work your way up. There's nothing wrong with that either. But I think it's all about open communication as number one.
Yeah, you really do just need to be honest and upfront. If you walk the walk instead of talking the talk, she'll be supportive of you. I mean, if you eat good, you work out, you exercise, you're in great shape, you're healthy, you don't do recreational drugs, you don't drink alcohol, how can she say anything? You know what I'm saying? So make it where she can't say anything. If you're going and doing, you're smoking pot and you're doing recreational drugs and you're drinking and you're partying and you're wasting all your money on steroids when you can't even fucking pay your rent, she's going to think you're a fucking loser. And good for her, because you are a fucking loser. Steroids, don't go and buy steroids if you don't have money to buy steroids. That doesn't make any sense. Don't spend your entire paycheck on steroids. You should have money, and steroids should be something It's like a disposable income, okay? It's like the person who lives with their parents and drives a fucking Mercedes. It's the stupidest fucking thing ever. Move out of the fucking house first. Get your own place. Then worry about getting a nice car. Don't fucking get a nice car while you're living with your parents. That's the stupidest thing you could possibly do. So, you know, walk the walk. I mean, and she'll support you 100%. Another good tip, make her inject you. You know, don't make her inject you, but say, hey, you know, will you inject me? Will you help me out? Because once she injects you, she'll love that. Women love to fucking inject guys. So get her to do it, then she'll be in with it. And then she'll kind of understand as time goes on. Don't be an asshole. You know, don't rage. Don't have roid rage with her. She'll understand, wow, this is a good thing. He's fucking me more. He's, you know, stronger. He's got more muscle. He's got less body fat. Wow, this is a good thing that he's using steroids. So turn a negative into a positive. And that's the best thing you can do, you know, I think. So, you know, that's my advice. So we really appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. We'll have a next episode coming up. It'll be our fourth episode. You know, everyone enjoy it and stay safe out there. We'll talk to you guys next time.